Hey, this is Ryan Miller. I'm the lead pastor of Local City Church. Welcome to our podcast. I hope this talk encourages you, inspires you, and reminds you that there is always hope. That this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. Thank you for joining us today. Enjoy the message.
Title of today's message is Living Light. How many would say and give me an amen today that sometimes life tends to wear us down or weigh us down? Anybody agree with that? All right. Life is heavy. Now, why is life heavy? Because it's valuable. Because it means something. Because it is a blessing that God has given us. And there are so many things that life weighs us down with. Listen, church is not a place where we are dishonest about how life is Monday through Saturday, right? Like work and relationships and kids and marriage, it's a difficult life that we live. But the reason it's difficult is because it's valuable. The reason it's heavy sometimes is because it is a big blessing that God has called us to steward. But the good news today, everybody say good news.
Good news.
Oh, we're awake, ready to go. I like it. The good news today is that we don't have to carry all the weight by ourselves.
Correct.
That we don't have to carry it all alone. Write this down for me this morning. It's that we often carry the weight of our past and pains that we were never meant to carry. Some of us, we wake up every day carrying the past mistakes and pains and shame from something we did years ago, and it still weighs us down. It still affects our decisions. It still affects our marriages and our relationships and our relationship with God. And can I tell you today, if you get nothing else, get this. You are not meant to carry all that by yourself, and some of it you're not meant to carry at all. The reason Jesus came is so that you could live free. The reason Jesus came is so that you could understand forgiveness. Let me read our guiding verse today, and then I'll let Adrienne kind of chime in with some powerful things that she knows about these truths. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 says this. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded, everybody circle that word, surrounded, surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. I love how the Bible says all these great things, and then it says this. Here's how we do this. By keeping our eyes on ourselves.
Oh,
gotcha. No, by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. He disregarded its shame. And now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne.
Yeah, so we're in the middle. Hey, guys. We're in the middle of this series and these talks all about mental health. And if you've known me for a long time, I'm telling the story again. But if you're new, a lot of my yes for Ryan and I planting this church and starting it came out of what God did in my life and my living, breathing testimony. And I walked a long, long time through anxiety, and a lot of people are struggling with that right now. It's kind of the new epidemic that we have going on. But since childhood, couldn't sleep over at kids' houses. Any kind of change was really triggering for me. I won't get into the nitty-gritty of that, but it just became my normal. Mm-hmm. It became, this is just who I am. I struggle with this. There's things that I'm not going to be able to do. And there's things about me that is just who I am because of it. I'm just going to have to deal, right? And God did something so supernatural with me on the other side of a fast. So I think two times a year we do a fast. I would love to invite you guys into one of those, but you don't have to wait for us. If you want to see the hand of God move, fast something and watch him. We'll get into that, but watch him show up in your life. But at the end of a fast, I had a moment in worship with God where he said, that's not going to have a hold on you anymore, but I need you to stay close to me. And I realized in that moment that things that are held in secret, things that we deal with a lot of times, our mental health, we don't want anybody to know how real it gets and what those thoughts are. Like, if anybody knew the thoughts that I have, they would think that I'm the worst. They wouldn't want to be around me, or that would be so embarrassing. Mental health stuff is often like that. We keep it in secret. And what is kept in secret, what is kept in the dark, light isn't able to touch it, mm-hmm. and light isn't able to heal it. But you know what grows in the dark? Lies.
Yes.
Lies.
Yes.
And so the lie of this is how it's always going to be, this is how things are, this is who I am, it was a lie from God that mm-hmm. that thing had a hold over me, and I felt stuck in it.
Yeah.
But through pursuing God, through kind of stepping out of the cave, through doing something to leave it behind, I was able to find Jesus, and he was able to give me an authority over that thing I never thought was possible, and really meeting a hope that has a name that we talk about.
Yeah, I mean, you see it on the wristbands. We talk about it all the time. Take as many as you want. Our wristbands say there is always hope. Yeah. Why can we promise that to you? Because hope is not based on an emotion or how we're feeling. Hope has a name, and that name is Jesus.
Yes.
One of the best ways to realize that this whole idea of shame off you and living light is powerful, because we are not talking about a belief system. We are not talking about new ideologies or mantras, right, or the way to better self-help. No, we are talking about a relationship that can change your life.
Yes.
And that relationship is with a person. And that person has a name, and that name is Jesus. I love how it says in this, Hebrews chapter 12, since we are surrounded
Correct.
By such a huge crowd of witnesses. Other translations say surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses. Now, why is that language important? Because the author of Hebrews is trying to help us understand the bigness of the witnesses that are cheering us on in this
Yes.
life of faith.
Correct.
I don't know about you, if you've ever been in a big stadium. I'm a big sports guy. You ever gone to a Lightning game or a Bucks game or the heaven place on earth, a Florida State Seminole game, right? Like, that's
Here
where heaven
go,
hits
y'all.
Earth, right? So if you've ever been there, the roar of the crowd for the home team is mighty, right? Sometimes I'm like, oh, man, I could just love to feel that rush of the crowd just one time, right? Like, I know God didn't, I'm not too tall or strong or anything like that, so I've never happened, but you know, who knows, we could try. But anyway, I would love to feel that. But what I'm reminded of daily is that I do have that in the spiritual stadium of my life.
Yes.
Understanding that the authors of the Bible and the disciples and Jesus himself are standing in the crowd saying, hey, you can do this. You are not alone. God has the best for you. Keep trusting him. Keep moving. Keep taking one step after the other. Don't give up. And you're surrounded yeah. by that cloud of witnesses shouting at you, yeah. telling you who you are. We can respond to that a little bit today, Local City. And the reason we may not respond to it is because we may not remember or may not even know that that's happening. And what it says in verse 2 is so powerful. It says that Jesus, who started and initiated this thing we call our faith relationship,
yes.
he's also the perfecter of it. But what does it say? He disregarded its shame. Other translations say he scorned the shame. Why is he so in this defensive position against shame? Because, as we talked about last week, it is the first thing that began to separate us
Correct.
From our loving Father. Now listen, when Adam and Eve sinned, if you know the Bible history, Adam and Eve sinned, messed it up for all of us. If you look at them and point the finger like, hey, why'd you do that? Well, just remember, you probably sinned this morning as well. So you broke it as well. I broke it as well. But here's the thing. Sin is the thing that does separate us from God, and we needed Jesus to bring us back into relationship. But the thing we place on ourselves that even further separates us is shame. And the reason it says that Jesus disregarded shame and scorned shame is because he knows how much it can drive a wedge between you and your loving Heavenly Father. He knows how much it can destroy you from the inside out. And what is shame? It's constantly thinking about those past mistakes. It's allowing things that we may feel guilty of, which guilt is healthy, but it can either turn into two different things. It can turn into shame or it can turn into surrender.
Yes.
A lot of times our natural human efforts is to turn it into shame. I'm the worst. Why? Because we naturally focus on ourselves in the good things and the bad things. Mm-hmm. And so we say, well, I'm the worst. I made this mistake because of what happened to me. And we begin to shame ourselves. If I can promise you one thing today, it's this that I want you to write down. No matter how stuck we may feel this morning,
yeah.
God wants us to know there is always a way out.
Yes.
Listen, I'm not trying to be unsympathetic to you. But I don't know what you've gone through. I don't know what you've done. But I know God does. And I can 100% promise you today that there is a way out. There is always a way out with Jesus, with the love of God, and the power of the community that we call church.
And if you are in this room and you're struggling with that anxiety and the depression, when we were talking about what breeds in the darkness is shame.
Yes.
And oftentimes you think, I'm the only one going through this.
Yeah.
And it's a lie from the enemy. And so, and another lie is, well, if you were more spiritual, you wouldn't be struggling.
Yes.
It's a lie.
Yep.
God has his hand out to you. In Psalms, it says that he is intimately acquainted with your burdens. Mm-hmm. He knows exactly how it feels. He knows exactly what's going on in your mind. Let him call you out. I love that verse when it says he's the starter and the finisher of our faith. He pursued us first.
Yes.
Take his hand and say, I don't know what this looks like. I don't know what it looks like coming out of this. Let him lead you to where you're going to be surrounded in life. Let him lead you to community. Let him lead you to help. Let him lead you to his word. You're not awful. It's not your fault. But God does want to do a work in you. And I just want to invite you to take his hand and step out of shame.
Yeah, God loves you so much no matter where you're at. He loves you so much, but he loves you too much to let you stay that way,
correct,
right? That's why there's a way out. One of my favorite verses in the Gospel of John, maybe you've heard it, it makes for a good t-shirt or Instagram post. Jesus says, take heart, for I have overcome the world. Now, if you forget the beginning of that verse, it says, in this life, not you might, not maybe, you will have trials and troubles. Now, why is he telling his disciples that? He's telling them because he's about to go to the cross. He's about to die. They're about to go through 3 days of darkness where they think they've lost. And then Jesus comes out of the grave, and he ascends to heaven. But he's also telling them for what their life is going to be. You see, the fact that they give their life to him and trust him with everything they have and begin to build the church, their life doesn't suddenly, like, become awesome and easy. It's a lot. It's difficult. And they had to lean back on that verse. Hey, take heart. I have overcome the world. And that's why I can know there's always a way out. Listen, I have been trapped in some things. I have been shamed by myself and by others. I have been shamed by the enemy. But you know what? I have to lean into what Adrian said before, the closeness that Jesus wants to have with me.
Correct.
And the words that my Heavenly Father has given me. Some of us, the reason we feel so much shame is because we're living with an identity that God did not give us.
Yeah.
Some of us, we are, and we'll talk about this in a minute, but we have like just a lexicon of all the names and labels and things that people have done to us. And you could rattle them off. Hey, what are some negative things your parents said about you, or your teacher said about you, or your friends said about you? What are some negative things that happened in your life? And a lot of us, myself included, we could go boom, 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 boom. I remember, man, middle school kids called me Big Head, still dealing with it, all right? Luckily, my body caught up, right? But Big Head with red hair, that's not a good concoction for middle school, all right? Boys, they'll make fun of you. But there's also a lot of other things that I was made fun of for, right? But here's the thing I had to realize. It does me no good to become a professional in everything that the world has said about me or the world has done to me. That does me no good. The only thing that does me good and gives me healing is knowing the promises that God has said about me and the things that Jesus has given for me. And I know that we can be thankful for those things because it's our way out. Now, again, the whole thing about this, again, is not shame off you because if you get better, you get more spiritual, it'll happen. No, it's just leaning and surrendering more on Jesus.
Surrender.
Adrian had a great story this week, and I'll kind of give some bullet points that she can chime in. But with our son Shepherd, so we have zoo passes. The zoo's right by our house, the Zoo Tampa. We go all the time. It's awesome. And so they just opened up Australia Land at the zoo. And they have a water park, not a water park, like a splash pad there.
Mm-hmm.
And so our son Shepherd, he is big into wearing this Bucks hat right now, which is awesome. Let's go Bucks. Good offseason, good draft. Praying for the fall. But he's got his Bucks hat on today, I think. And so he was wearing that in the splash pad. And like most six-year-olds, he loves to take off and throw things, right? And so he took off his hat, and he threw it up in the splash pad.
Mary Tyler Moore style.
Yeah. Mary Tyler Moore, if you've ever seen that show. And it gets stuck up on the bucket where the water comes down. Now listen, we love our son. He is awesome. He's got a lot of feelings, which makes him such a loving and caring boy. But it also can lead into a little bit of the dramatic, right? And so he thinks that this hat is gone forever, stuck up there forever, and he's never going to get it back. Well, luckily, there was a really nice man at the zoo attending to the splash pad, and he came over to try and get the hat down. And so that sounds easy enough if you just take the story there. But if we begin to explain it to you more, what's going on is, as the man is trying to use this stick to get the hat down, The bucket of the splash pad is still filling up. And it still continuously is dumping on this poor man gallons and gallons of water every minute as he's trying to get the... How did you feel?
How did I feel?
Yeah, how'd you feel? Yeah.
I mean, it was two-sided because what he was doing with the claw was not what he needed to be doing. And I didn't want to be a backseat driver in this situation. But it's just, there's nothing I can do. My poor child, he threw his hat, and this man is just taking hits at his workplace.
Yeah.
So I just had a lot of compassion for all involved, and I didn't feel like, you know, MVP mom of the year.
Can I Venmo you, please?
I asked to Venmo him for his trouble. He did not have it.
Now, here's the serious thing about this, is you have to understand that as silly as that is, it's exactly what Jesus wants to do for you. You've thrown your hat, and it's gotten stuck somewhere.
This is
why I can pass, right? I can figure out these silly things, right? But you're trying to get it down. And Jesus is like, hey, I'm paid to take the hit.
Wow.
I've paid for it.
Wow.
So why don't you just let me do it?
Yeah.
And some of you need to step out of the bucket of your shame and of your guilt and of your past and allow Jesus to take the hit, because guess what? He can take it, and it has no power over him because he is the Son of God. He is the one who can heal you. He is the one who frees you, and he doesn't require any sort of Venmo or tip. It says he had the joy that was set before him, which is why he did it. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go through we can give it up. That's good. That's good. That's fine. See? Who knew? Who knew? Splash pad, shepherd's story.
That was an experience.
But today we're going to go through quickly as we close a perspective change.
Yes.
Let me give you a quick few things that maybe this is a negative perspective you had, or you have right now. I want you, they're not in your notes, but I want you to write down these four words. And so maybe with the shame of your past or just the weight of your life right now, the anxiety and stresses you are feeling, write this down, you're feeling overburdened. You just can't take it anymore. You're feeling the weight of the world. You're feeling the weight of everything. And you have come into a place where you are over-encumbered. You are overburdened, like you cannot carry it anymore. And your perspective has moved from being overburdened to now this, self-medicated, where you are doing things within yourself to medicate away the pain, to medicate away the heaviness. What's robbing you of living light is the fact that you're just medicating away the burden, but not actually finding healing in it. Now, what does being overburdened and what does self-medicating lead to? It leads to now normalizing everything.
Yeah.
This is what I just gotta tell you, this is what culture does. Like, they like to lean into, that's just who I am. Like, AA provides a lot of freedom, but I believe the whole statement, I am an alcoholic, is a horrible thing to say. I would rather say, like, I'm dealing with this in my life right now, but it's not who I am. Because what the enemy would love for you to do is to say, well, I am just a shamed person. I am just a broken person. I am my mistakes. I am my past. I am what was said about me. I am what was done to me. And we normalize these things, and guess what? That is not the normal full life that Jesus wants for you. Because what does it lead to? Then it leads to being trapped. Imprisoned. Here's the great thing that you need to know about the trap and prison that you're in. The cell is unlocked. All we have to do is walk out. Because who has the keys? Jesus. And a lot of times we just need to change our perspective and let Jesus be Jesus and let us be the son and daughter in the family.
Yeah.
Let Jesus be Jesus because he's way better at it than we are.
Yeah.
What was the first thing I said today after worship was, why don't we just step off the throne of our life and allow Jesus to sit on the throne? Now, here's the perspective change today. I want you to write these things down. First thing is this, is believe it's okay to not be okay. Can we get that all right? Listen, church is not a place where you have to walk in feeling okay. I don't know if you grew up with that perspective. But here's the thing. I read this, I think it was on Twitter this week, where the guy was writing that a lot of people don't come to church for two reasons. They think God is angry at them and people don't want to know them. Nothing could be further from the truth.
Yep.
God loves you and people want to help you.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we have to realize it's okay to not be okay, but here's where the church and the healing of Jesus comes in. It's not okay to stay that way.
Yeah.
It's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. You got to get healed. You got to get free. You gotta allow Jesus to heal you and forgive you and free you and do the deep work inside of you that he wants to do. Jesus says this, Paul says it's about the work of Jesus, that Jesus started it and he wants to bring that work to completion so you can be the son and daughter that God created you to be. Listen, it's gonna be hard. It's gonna be difficult. You're gonna have to walk through some tears and some honesty, but I'm telling you, on the other side of healing, on the other side is healing, on the other side is forgiveness. I gotta remind myself, yeah, I'm not okay, but God does not want me to stay that way. He wants me to live the full, forgiven, encouraged, and strong life that he bought for me through his son, Jesus, on the cross, who is alive today. Here's why this is so powerful. Write this down. Is that if we don't express our weakness, then we can never experience God's power. Some of us, we don't experience God's power. It's because we're so afraid of admitting that we're weak. I have to be honest, I experience gym shame sometimes, right? I go to the gym, I know you can tell. Thank you for laughing, that was a joke. But I do go. And one of the things I don't ever do is I never ask anyone to spot me because I don't want to ever fail in front of someone. Just be honest with you. Yeah, I want people to think, oh yeah, that guy's got it. But the only way to actually get stronger is to work your muscles to a point of failure where someone has to help you. And I feel a lot of us, we are so afraid of failing where God is saying, hey, I'm just standing here on the sidelines waiting for you to ask me to spot you. Because I want you to grow. I want you to move forward. We've got to be comfortable with our weaknesses because that's where we experience God's power. Mm-hmm. Number two is this, get completely honest and take one step forward. Get completely honest and take one step forward. Here's the step in the direction I want you to know today. Romans chapter 10, verse 11, as scripture says, anyone, let me give you the biblical word for anyone, it means anyone, all right? Anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame.
Yeah, as speaking from my own testimony and my own experience, healing is hard.
Yes.
And healing takes responsibility on our part. One of my favorite things that I've heard recently is someone talking about a similar struggle as me with depression. And they're like, hey, I still have depression sometimes. I still experience depression, but it doesn't have me.
Yes.
And I'm the same way with my anxiety. Like, I'm still going to experience it sometimes, but I'm not going back to the old things I used to do before I was healed.
Yes.
I'm not going back to the old thoughts. I love scripture when it says that his thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways are not my ways. How do you know that you're going back and you're not going forward in your healing? You're thinking, oh man, I can't do that. Oh man, this is going to take me out. Oh man, I'm worried about the worst case scenario is going to happen. Those are not God's thoughts.
Yeah.
Put on the mind of Christ.
Yes.
Take on his thoughts and surrender. The number one thing of stepping out and taking one step forward and change for me is the art of repentance.
Yes.
So many times when I'm experiencing this thing, I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm going to stop and I'm going to say, Lord, I'm sorry for the ways that I've been doing it in my own strength. I'm sorry for the lies that I've believed instead of your voice, instead of your word.
Yes.
And as I'm stripping these thoughts off, as I'm taking off these things that are not the mind of Christ, I get to receive what scripture says.
Yes.
I get to receive his encouragement through it. But sometimes I feel like we're like the lame man by the pool of Bethesda who's been sitting there for 30 years on the mat.
Yes.
And God asks us, do you want to be healed?
Yes.
Do you want it?
Yes.
Because in 30 years, you probably could have made a buddy or like wormed over there at some point, made an effort. Healing is hard because sometimes our pain is comfortable.
Yeah.
We're so used to the pain that we know that healing is different. Healing is scary. But God wants to call you into it and be like, you don't have to be afraid because I'm the one who does it.
Yeah.
You don't have to do anything but take one step forward for change and let God heal you and then stay committed because your healing's your responsibility.
Yes.
Stay committed. You might, it's not maybe a miraculous thing for you where you never have a depression thought ever again.
Yes.
But every time it comes, you have a new play to run.
Yes.
Every time it comes, I'm going to do my submission game plan.
Yeah.
Every time it comes, I'm going to do my repentance game plan, and I'm going to put on the mind of Christ. That's the steps, you guys,
yes.
And it's life-changing. Watch God do miraculous things in your life, your family's life, your kid's life, your coworker's life. You can rub off on somebody else. It's amazing. What did the guy in the story do? He went and told everybody what Jesus had done and sin no more. Don't go back to the old. Take that step forward to heal it.
Yes. And That's so good. Come on, one more time. Come on, that's good stuff, man. I'm receiving. I need that, right? I love that story because Jesus says, do you want to get well? Because you know your life's going to change if you get well. You're going to have to get up all your mat.
It's hard.
You're going to have to go work. You're going to have to actually live the life that you've now been healed for.
Yep.
And I think that's really important. And we're going to have a kind of an intimate moment here at the end here where we're going to take time to really allow you to have this moment with God. But here's what I want to close with. Number three is this. Write this down. Place your total dependence on God and allow Jesus to carry the weight of your pain and your past. Place your total dependence on God. Now, you know, here in my messages, I love giving you a thing to hold on to, right? And so it wouldn't be Mother's Day, it wouldn't be a message at Local City without a little bit of an object lesson. So, Mr. Seneca, if you can bring out my very important and serious object lesson here. All right, thank you so much. Give it up for Seneca, everybody. Such a servant's heart, such a good guy. All right, so here's what it looks like to place your total dependence on God, right? Now, here's us. You look great. Look how smiley, right? Now, honestly, I want you to know this is what God wants for you. He wants a life of joy for you. He wants a life of hope for you. But here's, what did we talk about? Life has a way of weighing us down. Life has a way of taking us away from the things that God has for us. Shame has a way of driving a wedge between us and the joy of Jesus, the hope that has a name. It has a way of totally weighing down our life. So a lot of us, again, we're not so focused on this. We're so focused on the weight of life. We're so focused on, again, those pasts and those mistakes. And here's what we're doing. We're not depending on God because we're just holding on to those things because it's easier to hold on to the shame. It's easier to hold on to the sickness. It's easier to hold on to the secrets. It's hard to get healing. And what we've allowed now is that all of our weight of our pasts and mistakes and our shame, this is our life. I don't know about you, but I don't want this. I don't want to be so trapped by my past. I don't want to be so trapped by the things that have been said over me. I don't want to be so trapped by the things the world has labeled me. I want to be free by the promises of God. I want to be free by the words of Jesus that say, take heart, for I have overcome the world. I want to be free and restored and healed so that I can let someone else know that, hey, there is a way out. You don't have to carry that weight anymore. You can be free today at the name of Jesus, and all you gotta do is call on him. And here's what dependence looks like. Dependence realizes that, you know what? All that pain, all those mistakes, they're real. They really happened. I really did those things. I've said hurtful things to my wife. I've gotten angry with my kids. I have sinned. I have messed up. But the thing is that we can either allow those things to weigh us down, or here's what total dependence on God looks like. You know what? These things are real, but I'm not carrying them anymore. I have given them to Jesus because he wants to carry the weight. And when he's carrying the weight, it puts my foundation in him. And so I am free just to do what he's called me to do, to live the full life, to elevate myself and move towards heaven and worship and realize, man, I'm just floating and I'm free. Now see, the thing is, a lot of us, we want to cut this tie. But if we were outside, Mr. Smiley Face Balloon would pop pretty quickly. See, it's not about just being free to do whatever we want. It's about being free to live the way that God intended us when we're attached in the forgiveness and freedom that only Jesus could give me. So now this weight is not something that burdens me. This weight is something that blesses me because I remember who I was. And I remember where Jesus has brought me. I love this verse in Psalm 139. This is King David. It says, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God, that cannot be numbered. Can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. Come on, Florida Beach people. There's a lot of sand out there. The good thoughts that God has for you outnumber those grains of sand. So here's what it says today. Here's what David says. Most powerful prayer you can pray today. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. In this moment today, here's what I want us to do. We'll close. Moms, we got flowers for you. We got the photo booth. But we want to take 2 minutes. Just give you a chance to step into this freedom. To realize, you know what? I'm connected to Jesus, but but he's carrying the weight now, and I'm letting him have it. And we're going to sing a song that talks about a song we sang earlier about letting incense arise. What does that mean? It's not a weird spiritual thing, a weird New Age thing. If you were singing that this morning, you're like, whoa, what's that? Incense in the Bible was a symbol of worship. Incense in the Bible symbolized the relationship that God wanted with his people. The priest would go into the temple and burn incense to remember that, hey, when I pray, when I worship, it is not just going into the air and disappearing. It is elevating to heaven, and it is falling on the heart and ears of a God who loves me now on the other side of Jesus. It is falling into the arms of Jesus who lifts us up and encourages us. Because it's not only about the incense going up, it's about the blessings of Jesus coming down. Now, I want you to know today that, man, one of the best things you can do is let go and let God. One of the best things you can do is worship louder than your shame, worship louder than your fear, worship louder than your anxiety. So would you do me a favor? Would you stay in this attitude of prayer and just stand to your feet? We're going to bring the lights down here for a moment in this time of ministry. Just a minute or two. Just stay with us. I want you to close your eyes. My goal for you is you'll be as happy as my little balloon here by the end of the service. We're going to take 2 minutes and we're just going to focus on Jesus. We're going to let incense arise. With every head bowed and every eye closed, why don't you just, again, we do this as a sign of surrender. Why don't you just hold out your hands like you're receiving something today? And why don't you just pray these words from Psalm 139 with me. God, search me. Search me, God. What are those things that are weighing me down? Holy Spirit, show me those things that I'm dealing with, that I'm allowing to hold me down, that's robbing me of the freedom that you want for me, the full life that Jesus has given me. Search me and know me. Point out those things, and I just want to worship them away. I want to let the incense of my relationship with God become the most powerful thing about me. And as you begin to feel that, I just pray right now that weight would feel lifted off. I pray right now that forgiveness would be felt. And I want you to move from as we sing today, I want you to move from a posture of surrendering these things with your hands up, your hands open and out, to your hands up in the victory formation of I have victory in Jesus today. I have hope in Jesus today, and he's worthy of it all. Let's sing this out today. Let's close this service the right way, honoring Jesus and focusing on him. And as you feel that weight, move your hands from that surrender posture to that victory posture as the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you. Come on, let's sing. Let's sing.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Local City Podcast. I want to encourage you to take the message you just heard and allow it to go deeply into your heart. Let Jesus do the deep work that only he can do. A special thank you to everyone who gives to Local City Church. Your generosity makes this podcast possible and creates life change for so many people. You can be a part of spreading this message by going to localcity.church/give. You can also subscribe, rate, and share this message with your family and friends. Thanks again for listening. God bless you. Have a great day.